Good morning.
Welcome back to another episode of Mornings with the Montagues. Episode 2, we made it. I'm so grateful to be here. Actually, I wanted to record an extra episode yesterday because I was so happy with our first episode. I've been waiting to do this forever. We told you guys that, of course. And so,
yeah.
If you guys have not subscribed, join the podcast. Join the YouTube. We want you guys to be able to be a part of what we're doing. And it's been great so far. 2 days in. I'm happy.
All right.
I'm happy. How do you feel? How are we doing this
morning? Great.
Good.
Let's pray to start.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time to be here with my wife. And we welcome you into this house. We welcome you into our lives this morning. Help us to be good husbands, fathers, wives, mothers, children of God, Lord. We welcome you into this devotional. Teach us something that we can carry with us the rest of our day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The devotional today is titled Marking the Starting Line. Marking the starting line. Mark, what are the verses today?
The verses are Genesis 8, 1 to 22, but we are going to read the main verse right now. Genesis 8, 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it.
All right. Here's a little bit of our devotional today, guys. I carried my wife across the threshold of our first home. I've heard of other grooms doing this with their brides and always thought it was a bit corny. Yet I found myself wanting to do the same thing, something special, at the start of our marriage. Something that said we were entering a new adventure together. Something that honored my wife and spoke of my pledge to care about her and for her. Carrying my bride over the threshold was a ritual act performed by thousands, but we were claiming this moment together as our own. And that ritual truly became ours. Today, whenever we think back on our marriage, we remember me picking her up, walking through the door and bumping her head on the doorframe. That would be a great memory. We don't have a memory like that. We do have a memory of you dancing for me, Italian, and falling.
Not on the honeymoon.
No, not on the honeymoon.
Didn't fall on the honeymoon door.
No, I think this was their first house, so it wasn't their honeymoon. It was just their
nice. Every house, every movie.
That's a great idea.
Let's do that.
Noah's altar in Genesis 8:20 is like that. Other people had sacrificed animals before. Many had directed their prayers heavenward in the smoke of offerings. But the day of exiting the ark after a massive flood was special for Noah's family. They were starting over. They were beginning a new journey. They were survivors in a world devastated by sin and punishment. They were the Adam and Eve of a new era. They were children of God. Each newly married couple opens the door of what Shakespeare called the undiscovered country. That is, the future. I think that we should stop here. The undiscovered country. I think that's so true. When we're entering into a relationship, entering into marriage, even our relationship with God, it's an undiscovered country. We don't know what is going to happen. It's the unknown ahead. And many times, we are afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of what we don't know, what we don't understand, what we can't control. And so, I think this is one thing that is intriguing about marriage, but also scary, right? And this goes to our marriage vows. In sickness and in health, in better for worse, in richer and poor, I will always be here by your side, right? The undiscovered country. After a whirlwind of wedding planning and events, they stand a little breathless, staring down a road that they traveled together. Each bride is Eve, each groom is Adam, and generations of Cain and Abels and Seths and their sisters are waiting to be born. How will the journey begin? What will blaze the trail and mark the path? What ritual acts will stand as a testimony that something significant has happened here and point to where the road is going? This is also amazing. I think we should talk about our marriage process, how this happened, right? It was such a struggle for us to get married in Brazil because, of course, I'm American and I needed documentations from America and they got sent to Spain and not Brazil. That was a crazy thing. I needed some approval things that had to be stamped by the government of America to approve that I could get married here. Your name was wrong, right? Many things were happening. And so it was a challenge for us to get married. But we always said to God during that moment, God, if you make this happen, we will never doubt you again. And we've held on to that many times in our marriage. We've looked back on that when difficult things happen with our son or with the pregnancy or other things, right? In life, with business or simple things. We always looked back, God, We want to doubt you right now, but we're going to trust you because we promised if you made a way, we would trust you. And he showed us his faithfulness and we doubted, but we really tried to go back to that. Yes, he's faithful. He's faithful. Anything to add on that?
I didn't doubt.
Yeah, okay. I'm a little anxious, okay?
Yeah, I believe that God had a plan for us, and I don't doubt God, you know? But what we were surprised was about that time, that season that we were waiting for us to get married, and all throughout all the process was like hoping that God was going to do something, because the enemy was trying hard to not let us get married. So I knew that God was with us too. So he made that happen.
And so that is definitely...
One day we're going to tell you the process.
We'll share more. That's definitely a testimony for us that we look back on the beginning of our marriage. For Noah, it was an altar, a pile of thanks to God, recognition that the true pilot of his boat now needed to be guide and guardian of the land journey ahead. It wasn't just God help us to get married. No, it's God help us in our marriage, right? Because the marriage is the important part. The process to get married was challenging, but we need God for the rest of the journey, right? We who are descended from Noah still raise his altar and chant his prayers. We do it when we make our marriage vows before God. We do it when we pray over our new homes, even if it's a one-bedroom apartment. We do it when we baptize or dedicate our children. We do it when we establish habits of family devotions. These rituals declare our home, our house, to be holy ground, and those who dwell in it to live on the threshold of eternity.
Yeah, I just want to comment something. Like, as we notice here in devotional, Noah's family, like, they had an altar to the Lord, right? They had this rituals, these sacrifices to the Lord, and it was something serious to them, and non-religiosity. Because if you see what happened to Noah, like, God chose him and his family. He protected them because they were faithful to him. They were rescued, you know, from the flood. God chose them. So God knew their hearts. God knew that they were serious about him. And this is what we have to do in our families, in our house, right, as a couple and as children of God. And bring our whole family to the Lord, right? Because we're going to be in this boat, you know? We're going to be rescued at the end, you know? All of us that believe in Jesus, that trust him, that walk with him.
Something I've heard you say before, would God save our family?
Yeah.
Right? And he saved Noah's family. Would he save our family? Are we pleasing to the Lord, right? Are what we doing pleasing God? And I really, really want our family to be a family that the Lord looks at and says, well done, family. You are a house of peace, a house of joy, a house of worship, right? In our house, we will serve the Lord. And ultimately, that falls a lot on my responsibilities as a leader of our home, as the husband, as the father. Something Marcelle has mentioned a couple of times is that I work a lot. And so I think she's a little crazy. I don't know. We'll talk about that another day. But through that, I took great pride in providing financially for my family. But in that moment, I was neglecting spiritually providing, physically providing, emotionally providing for my family. I can't just provide as a husband financially. It's not enough. I need to meet the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of my family as well. It's so, so valuable.
Yeah, but that was not since the beginning of the marriage.
No.
You started doing this, since February. And I noticed the difference in... We were not being spiritually fed as before and led. And that was important, you know? It's very important for the man of the family to spiritually lead his family, his wife.
And it's so easy how I got distracted, because I knew that in the beginning of our marriage. But then somehow life happens and work comes and I got distracted by that. Yeah. I wasn't guarding that area.
Thanks to some leaders that we had. They helped us.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And
God is good.
Praise God for their lives. Nelson and Amir.
Shout out Nelson and Amir.
Yeah, their resilience. But
he's going to watch this video. I know he is. So he's going to see it. God bless you guys.
God bless you guys.
The next part here. Ritual without meaning becomes mere tradition. Meaning without ritual is soon forgotten. But when ritual and meaning are bound together, we remember who we are, whose we are, so we can move forward together. Also this. ritual without meaning. This can also be related to what we preach a lot in the church. And this has kind of been our something main that I've touched on almost every time I preach in Brazil, that you can't just come to church and sit in the chair and lift up your hands. It's not enough. Sitting in the chair, the church attendance, giving your tithe, that is not salvation. That is just attendance. And you can't be saved by attendance. You must be saved through Jesus Christ, giving your life to Him, repenting of your sin, turning away. And those things, we have to have the meaning behind it. It can't just be going to the service, because if all you're doing is getting fed on Sunday, what is your walk with the Lord like, you know, through the week?
Not Noah's family worthy of saving, huh? Not that time.
That's true.
So you build that relationship at home with the Lord, and then you come to the meetings with the godly people just because the Bible says. And I think God's love language is obedience.
Ooh.
So read through those verses to not stop going to the meetings, to church meetings, but also having a strong relationship at home with Him.
Very, very good. So that is the devotional. Now we have our questions for today. Our first question, did we build something like Noah's altar at the beginning of our journey together? In what ways can we renew its significance for our marriage and home? Can we raise an altar together now if we didn't do it then?
I think since the beginning, we were very excited to, even before marriage, we were so excited to start our marriage life. And we knew that we were going to have devotional time together. Even before, like when we were dating, we had these moments with the devotionals. And we did it and we keep doing it. And sometimes less frequently like we'd like to. But it's extremely important. And also putting some worship on the TV, because we're not great singers, right? So
I saw yesterday, I was joking when I was trying to sing in the
Yeah, so we praise the Lord together. And now we have a baby to get it.
Welcome back. Here we are. Brief intermission. Baby boy woke up. No problem. So to finish up Marcelli's answer on this, this final part of the question, can we raise an altar together now? We didn't do it then. And so if your family doesn't have this routine of devotions together, maybe alone, maybe husband and wife, maybe even with the children, I recommend do it. It takes time. It's a sacrifice. But just as Noah sacrificed the burnt offering to God, our life can be a living sacrifice to Christ. And so we can make this time with the Lord. And every time we make the time to do it, it's always worth it. We never regret this time spent with God. Even if we lose it a little bit to have breakfast time, or even if we don't get to take a walk that day because we spend time with God, it's worth it every time. So test it out. What's the worst that can happen, right? Spend this time with God. I guarantee your day will be changed and you will build this habit to continue to do it every day. It's going to change your life, really. Second question, what rituals or traditions are we establishing to identify the character of our home? Like a mama question.
I think we're building it because there's things that God has put in our hearts, like hospitality. And also every time someone comes to our house, we want people to feel peace, the peace of the Lord in here, and to be blessed when they come and be healed, receive healing of struggles, you know, come back from home, from to their homes with a not a heavy heart, but with a blessed heart, with a joyful heart after coming visiting us. So I think God is helping us to build that in our home, and about the hospitality, because right now we don't receive so many people in our house, like just some friends sometimes, and my mom every day, practically every day. But every time someone comes, we want to welcome them like Jesus would, you know?
Something else, the tradition that we try to do in our home is praying for the people that come before they leave, not just praying at the meal. That's that's bonus, right? That's going to happen. But when someone leaves our home, when someone comes and goes, we want to pray with them together before they leave. And it's easy right now because we're missionaries, right? We have this status of a missionary. And so they're like, oh, it's normal. It's normal. They're just doing their part as a missionary. But I don't want this to just be something we do when we're in missions. I want it to be a lifestyle of our home, a culture of our home, that we build this atmosphere that we want to bless people as they come in and bless people as they come out.
First, we are children of God, right?
Yeah.
And as children of God, we must act like we belong to Him, to His household.
Yeah. Our final question today, What devotional experiences have we shared together? What will we pass along to our children? Yeah, we basically spend this entire video talking about our devotional life, so we don't have to answer that part. You can, go ahead. But the second part, what we pass along to our children. I think this is a great point that people always say, do as I say, not as I do. Do as I say, not as I do. I've heard this before in Portuguese. Mm-hmm. This is what parents usually tell their children, right? Do as I say, not as I do. But I don't think that's how it works, right? It's not just what we tell our son to do. It's what we show our son to do. We have to show him the devotions. We have to show him that we open the Bible, that we do, that we pray. Is that your microphone? That we pray, that we worship. Those are the things that we want to instill into our future children and our current son here. So we want to establish this in our family. Yeah, what about you?
Yeah, do devotions with them. Like I was listening one of Dallas's podcasts with another guest in Faith and Family Fellowship podcast, and it was a mom. Not a mom. She has I think she's a mom, of course. But she has...
Editors of the Bible?
I guess. She leads other women, other people into godly education of your children and godly principles. And I was listening to them and she was saying that the families that have devotionals with their children every day, it's a completely changed families. You know, it makes all the difference and they are better. They go better in school. They go better like in everywhere. It builds their confidence in the Lord. So it's something that we definitely want to do with Elijah and if we have other children too.
Yeah, God willing, even other children, right? So thank you guys for joining us for another episode of Mornings with the Montagues. This is it. This is our devotional today. Read the verses on your own, Genesis 8, 1 through 22, and answer those questions with your spouse. And this is it. This is the devotional, guys. See you guys on the next episode.
Bye.